satisfied in their pursuit of Krishna consciousness? No? Why not? Well, just put it into a question if you want.
Okay, if you're aware that your Krishna consciousness is like you're regressing rather than progressing, so you're aware of it, but you seem to be able to put the brakes on.
It's easy to put the brakes on in good association. Srila Prabhupada once said that anything can be tolerated in good association. So even if you're feeling the kicks of the material energy, the whiplashes of the material energy, in good association, you can handle all that. But on your own, naturally you're going to be overwhelmed. Birds of a feather flock together. So, if you associate with those who are trying to be stronger, then you'll be stronger. That's the nature of Krishna conscious association. When I am weak and you are strong, you help me. And when I am strong and you are weak, I help you. But on our own, it's very difficult. The mind becomes very powerful and devours us. Therefore, someone who's seriously trying to get out of illusion, they make sure their association is dynamic. Otherwise, if you're associating with people who are talking mundane, temporary things all the time, your consciousness will be corroded and eroded. And after a while, it seems natural to be in Maya. Yes? So, if you want to be stronger and you feel you need more strength to put the brakes on, as you say, then you associate with those who are doing that. What could be more simpler? And in good association of those who are putting the brakes on, you'll simply become more determined to chant Hare Krishna. Simple thing to chant Hare Krishna. And it's the only good thing about the age of Kali. If you're looking for something else that's good, Srimad Bhagavatam doesn't agree with you. You know that, huh? Shukade Goswami says, Asti Heko Mahanguna. There's certainly only one good thing. That's all. Just one good thing. Kaleya Dosha Nite Rajan. This Kali Yuga is like a dosha nidda, ocean of faults. You have the ocean out here somewhere. Here, there, somewhere. So you go and watch the waves, try to count them. It's not possible to count all the waves. Similarly, it's not possible to get to the bottom of all the faults in Kali Yuga. Amidst that endless ocean of faults in Kali Yuga, there is one good thing, but only one good thing. What's that one good thing? Movies? Television? What? No. Kirtanadeva Krishnasya Mukta Sangha Param Vijay. Simply by chanting Hare Krishna. You can achieve the supreme destination. Otherwise, what's our position in material nature? What are we trying to do? You thought about this sometimes. What are you actually trying to do? Yeah, like kitten chasing its tail. Basically, to live in material existence, that means striving for material goals, what you're trying to do is adjust the tossing of the waves in the ocean. Now, how many of you here think you have that kind of potency to adjust the tossing of the waves? Just try going out to the ocean there and attempting to adjust how the waves are moving about. futile. You cannot do anything. But that's what it means to live a life separate from Krishna. You take it upon yourself to carry the burden of striving to be the enjoyer and controller. And therefore you're trying to adjust the waves in the ocean. Please, waves, flow like this and like that. Oh, that wave was too high. Oh, that one's too low. The ocean will never listen to you. But you can imagine you're doing something in your mind. I'm making a difference. I'm making an impact. It all goes on in imagination. We think we're making a difference. Any other questions? What is the difficult thing about Krishna consciousness? Is there anything difficult about it? What do people find difficult about Krishna consciousness? What do you say? Trying not to eat too many gulab jams. What do you find difficult about Krishna consciousness? What do you find difficult? Putting on tilak? Anyone?
Self-discipline.
Well, first you understand what the self is, and then you can figure out what discipline is. Now, if you think that you're that blue jumper, then you think that self-discipline means to wash it and iron it. But if you're not the blue jumper, then there's no question of self-discipline being in relation to the jumper. So you need to understand what you are, and then you can talk about discipline. But as long as you think you're the body, then it's going to be very difficult to practice the rules and regulations of Krishna consciousness, because you're quite sure, when you think you're the body, you're quite sure that the real you is being impeded, it's being interfered with. These rules are really disrupting my personal expression. You felt like that sometimes? What would make somebody think like that? Yes, right?
It's not natural
to control the senses. People think that advanced life means just let your senses go, and then you'll find happiness that way. In other words, we have a big problem with society. But we made that problem. Society is the way it is because we are the way we are. Society is so polluted. We have no idea how far from the standard of human civilization this society is. We have no idea. Why? Because we're so fascinated with all the gadgets and all the technological devices. We think that's the real symptom of intelligence. But this is completely rejected by the Vedic sages. Our society has missed the point completely. And the more you meditate on this, the more upsetting it becomes. We're living in a so-called human civilization which has no idea how to do anything beneficial for anyone. But you're very proud because you'll say, oh, but there's so many hospitals whereas in third world countries there's not so many hospitals. But here there's so many hospitals. Have the hospitals actually decreased the amount of suffering? You see, you're going to suffer under the influence of the laws of karma. You're going to suffer whatever amount you're supposed to suffer, whether you have hospitals or not. You cannot miss out on the suffering you're due, and you cannot miss out on the material happiness you're due. These things are already packed into your body at the time of birth. Prahlad Maharaj explains that in the seventh canto. Sukham andyakam daitya deha deha. Deha dehina yogina. Sarvacha labhyate daiva yata dukam ayatata. Because the happiness and distress in the correct amount is packed into your body at the time of birth, there's no point endeavoring for it. You won't miss out on one drop of material happiness that you're supposed to get, and you won't miss out on one drop of material distress either. Therefore, an intelligent person doesn't worry about all these things. It's going to come to you anyway. Better to try for that which doesn't come like that. Better to try to be Krishna conscious. Otherwise, all your material experiences that are due to you are going to come to you. It's like if you own a shop. Whether you own the shop or not, you get a certain amount of wealth that has already been decided. And also, how much happiness you're going to get in relation to that wealth that's been decided according to your activities in past life. You have room to make some variation in the situation, but you can't change the basics. From the material point of view, you cannot change the amount of happiness and distress you're due. Maybe you can change the circumstances by which you get your due amount of happiness. But still, you get the amount of happiness you're due, whether this circumstance or that. So why should we endeavor for that, which you're going to get anyway? An intelligent person doesn't want to waste his time in that way. So real progress means how to stop your death. That's the real project. I think I've told you before how once in Melbourne, one reporter was speaking to Srila Prabhupada in a challenging way. No. Actually, this reporter was coming after a very sarcastic reporter. This reporter said, "Well, I'm more open-minded. I'm more willing to listen. I don't like the articles written by those other sarcastic type reporters. I'm going to do a very good story on it." So, because he presented himself in a humble way, immediately Prabhupada began to teach him. So Prabhupada asked him, "Please, what is the goal of life?" And the man kind of hesitated, like, "Goal of life? Well..." And just to encourage him, Prabhupada said again, "Please, what is the goal of life? You be the guru. You tell me what the goal of life is." Draw the man out. So I guess then the man felt a bit more comfortable. So he said, "The goal of life? Well, the goal of life is to find happiness within myself." Now you'll probably say, "Well, yeah, that's all right. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Right? What's wrong with trying to find happiness within yourself? You're not trying to harm anybody. What's wrong with that?" Yeah, nice answer, was it? Yeah, the goal of life, to try to find happiness within. Yeah, it's all right. Now, Prabhupada immediately jumped on a point. He said, "That is dog's happiness. The dog is trying to find happiness within itself." Like, how severe. But it's true. You watch dogs, you watch animals, they're trying to find happiness within. When the birds fly through the air, do you see how they're flapping their wings? They like it. And the dogs running around, wagging their tails with their tongue out, they like, they're looking for happiness within. You have to watch and see, you'll find out. You have to notice. But Prabhupada did not accept that as a goal for a human being. He said, no. The goal for a human being is not to find so-called happiness within himself or herself. The goal of a human being is to stop death. Because as long as you're in the grips of death, old age, disease, birth, as long as you're in the grip of those things, how can you find happiness within yourself? That's Prabhupada's point. You've got to be crazy to think that caught in the grip of those things, you can look for happiness within. So that's why Srila Prabhupada was so firm about that point. If you simply say your goal in life is to find happiness within, that's the dog's understanding. Human being knows there's no question of happiness as long as I'm caught within the grip of material nature. There's no question of meaningful action when we are slaves of material nature. Meaningful action means freedom. How can there be freedom when we're caught in the grip of material nature? Therefore, actions in such an oppressed condition have no real meaning. But we are expert at trying to find some meaning amidst our bondage. How many of us actually feel like we're in the grip of material nature? You're being, things are forced on you all the time. Hunger's forced on you, thirst, desires. Not simply the weather is being forced on you. Everybody here knows you cannot change the weather. But that's only part of your bondage to material nature. So many things are being pushed on you, you can't change. How many adults here were able to say, no, I'm not going to go beyond the age of puberty. I'm not going to submit to puberty. No, you can't say that. Nature says, you're a certain age, wham, it's pushed on you. You cannot object. You're a slave of material nature. The hormones in the body, they develop a certain way, and you must become victimized. I remember my case of my brother. It's always easy to remember in terms of somebody else, by the way. I remember I was watching. I used to always observe. So my brother, I remember he was like 9 years old. So I was coming home from school, and he'd already got home from school. And he was in the back with his other 9-year-old friends. And they were digging a big hole in the backyard behind the house. He's about 10 years old. They're digging a big hole. I said, what are you guys doing? He said, we're digging a hole to hide when the girls attack. Yeah. I said, who are these guys? What are they doing in the backyard? These are part of my club. I said, what kind of club do you have? The Woman Haters Club. And we're digging a hole to hide from the girls in case they attack. They are going to attack. They're digging this huge hole in the backyard. So I remember that. Then two years later, I remember coming home from school, and there's this crowd of boys in front of the house. And they formed a ring. And in the center is my brother, you know, fighting with some other guy. So I said, oh, this is 2 years later. 2 years later. So I said, well, what are you fighting about? I said, well, we both like the same girl. What happened in those 2 years? In material nature. The hormones change, you have no choice. 1 minute you're digging a hole to hide from the girls, the next minute you're fighting over them. We don't think that this is being oppressed, however. We think, oh, it's just part of life. And Prabhupada worked hard to shake us out of that kind of complacency. It's just part of life. It's part of nature. No. If you're a human being, you cannot accept that. You must struggle. You must use this human form of life so that you're no longer in the grip of material nature. You can't just say, oh, it's part of nature. A human being has the responsibility to stop these things being pushed on you. So that realization is necessary in order to remain strong in Krishna consciousness. You're not going to accept certain things. But the illusory energy is always lulling you to sleep. Just accept it. It's natural. There's nothing you can do. Any other questions? Now, what are we up against when we talk about the illusory energy? Maya has two potencies. Pratyektatmika Shakti, Avaratmika Shakti. First is the throwing potency. And the second is the covering potency. How does the throwing potency of Maya manifest? You're trying to be in Krishna consciousness, and you're actually practicing Krishna consciousness to some degree. And then, just like someone holding up a store, Maya just jumps you. What are you doing practicing Krishna consciousness? Drop it! Get out of there! It's the throwing potency of Maya. Very powerful. What are you doing? Stop it! Why are you doing this with your life? You've got senses. Pay attention to them. You've got a mind. Surrender to it. It's like you're walking down the street in a bad area of town and some, you know, what do you call them here? In New Zealand they call them yahoos. What's the name here? Huh? Oh, gangsters? Okay. So, some gangsters, they jump you. Especially will happen if you're walking in the wrong side. I know there's no crime in Perth, but... No crime, no poverty, everyone's happy, everyone loves one another. So, you're walking on the wrong side of town, and some gangsters jump you. That certainly will happen. There's more of a chance of that happening in certain areas than other. Similarly, if we don't keep good association and we're not careful in how we behave, we leave ourselves open to be jumped by Maya with this throwing potency, capable of throwing you out of Krishna consciousness. What are you doing? Get out of there. Just recently in New Zealand, there was one young man, he's about 28 years old, kind of a self-made type of man. He didn't go to the uni, but he had taught himself all about computers, and he had gotten the job of managing 1,000 computers for the city of Wellington. For the government, he was managing 1,000 computers, and he didn't go to uni to learn all that. He taught himself. So he was very confident about himself. He had a pager in his pocket. If the computers malfunctioned, the computers would automatically page him. And he could make his own hours for working. His employer just, didn't really care what time he came in as long as he did the job, because they knew a guy with that much knowledge and dedication to computers is very rare. So he was obviously a successful guy. It seemed like he was making his own way. He was carving out his own destiny. So he started practicing Krishna consciousness, reading the Srimad Bhagavatam. He loved the Bhagavatam, it seemed. Every day he was reading. So I called him and I wasn't getting any answer for a while. And then finally I just called at 7 a.m. in the morning because I was in Australia, in Sydney, so it was 2 hours behind. So 9 o'clock for me, 7 o'clock for me, it was 9 o'clock for him or something like that. I called him. I said, what's going on? And he told me. Just 2 weeks ago, his 12-year-old daughter had died of an epileptic seizure at night. And then, the week after her funeral, he was diagnosed as having tumors in his spine, and he had an operation, and 3 tumors were taken out near his, from his spine. So, basically he said, I just can't handle all this. If there's really a God up there, why did he allow my daughter to die? And why am I suffering so much? So I don't want to practice Krishna consciousness. I just got to find my way through all this for now. Maybe I'll call you in the future. This is the throwing potency of Maya. He was so confident before this. Self-made man. Yes, the Srimad Bhagavatam, there's no book like it. I'm going to chant. I've got it all figured out. Which is good. But he didn't appreciate the power of Maya to just blow you away like that. The throwing potency. What are you doing in Krishna consciousness? Now your daughter has died. You've had 3 tumors taken out of your spine. You're undergoing chemotherapy now. All in 2 weeks. Drop everything. Drop your spiritual life. Obviously, these are severe circumstances. We might wonder what we would do in those circumstances. But it does happen, and everybody thinks it won't happen to me. He knew his daughter had epilepsy, and yes, epileptic seizures are a fact, but still no one expects. My daughter, no, it won't happen. So many people live normal lives even though they have epilepsy. She'll be all right. No one thinks anything will happen. Die in the night of a seizure. And then, the very next week, you finally go to the doctor, you're troubled by some pains in your back, and you have tests performed, and then they tell you you have to have surgery, you have tumors. During your surgery, they bring out 3 big tumors, and then you have to undergo chemotherapy. All in 2 weeks. Now everybody probably here, everyone here would probably think, well, that would make anybody more serious about becoming Krishna conscious. But when you think like that, you're underestimating the power of Maya. Everybody doesn't become more serious because the throwing potency of Maya convinces them. It's too much. How can you explain that you're practicing spiritual life and yet these things happen? Just drop it. Figure it out on your own. What would you have done in those circumstances? What would you have done? What about you, Shivananda? What would you? Very extraordinary, huh? That's the nature of this world. It's a world of death, and people don't like to think in that way. But there is something else you can have, but we have to know how to get that something else. We have to realize we're in contact with an energy, an illusory energy, that's deviating our purpose. See, this is what makes it seem like a daily struggle. There's an energy that's trying to deviate you from your purpose. either slow you down gradually or knock you off track immediately. And sometimes both. That's happening every day. We're not living in a neutral environment. We're tossing in the midst of an ocean. And once we understand how helpless we are, then we can really begin to chant Hare Krishna with the feeling of a child calling for its mother. Now let's analyze. What is attractive about material existence? Who can say? What's attractive about materialism? Huh? Oh, there's something. What keeps people going? Something different. Challenge, you said? What do they do? What do they look for that's exciting? All those so-called exciting and challenging things, don't they seem to always cost something? You got to pay for everything in this world.
Something that lasts?
Exciting thing that lasts. That means money, once again, right?
Yeah.
Everything has a price on it. What do you know that's free in the material world? Huh?
Nothing.
Nothing. That's why everybody has to work. Why do they work? Yes. Does anybody work just because of working?
Money.
They want money. And why do they need money? Not simply to live and pay bills. Huh? Yeah, of course. They're hoping with your paycheck, you'll be able to purchase happiness. I've got my paycheck. Don't you notice that when you get your checks, you get a sense of identity and a sense of fulfillment? I've got it, the check. Or however you're paid. You've got it, right? You feel like you've done something. I've got power now to get things. Even there's like a perverted satisfaction in paying bills, isn't it? You feel like you're what? Yeah. You're a responsible person. I can pay bills. I can pay my own phone bill and my electric bill, my rent, my car payments. I'm doing that. I exist because I can pay bills. Shopping, that really allows expression. But how can you go shopping without money? Therefore, you have to work. And then you want to establish relationships with others. So you need to work in order to get nice clothes or something that will attract someone else. So what is it that's for free in this world? What would you do if you didn't have to pay for everything? Even for Shivananda, you wouldn't work, huh? What would you do? Yeah, if you didn't have to pay for anything. If everything was free, what would you do? knew you were going to say it. Traveling. And why do you travel? For what? Don't you know that when people travel, they do the same thing that they do in their hometown? And what is this kind of happiness we're looking for? What actually is it? Do we see any? Give us an example. Do we see anybody with it? So what are we looking for then? We don't see anybody with it. Right. But everybody else is telling us it's out there. Even though nobody's getting it, everyone's telling, yeah, I have it, or that person has it. So we have to watch our association. We have to associate with those who will not deepen our illusion. We want to associate with those who inspire us in real pleasure. And what is real pleasure? Serving Krishna's senses. It's so hard for us to accept that serving my own senses means misery. Very difficult to accept that point. It's a bad habit we have many births. It seems so logical. To be happy, I serve my senses. Yes, of course. Nothing could be further from the truth. So Krishna consciousness is based on the reality that happiness is achieved when you serve Krishna's senses. So we need to find out about Krishna. The more we find out about Krishna, the more attracted to Krishna we become, and the more eager we become to serve Krishna's senses. Everyone can find out about Krishna. Young, old, male, female, anyone. In our natural spiritual condition, we're always eager to hear about Krishna. And in our abnormal material condition, we have no taste, no eagerness to hear about Krishna. So once again, we need good association to inspire one another in eagerness to hear about Krishna. That's a symptom of a healthy life. When you have a healthy appetite to hear about Krishna, you should know that you're getting well. When you take pleasure in talks about Krishna, you should know your materialistic disease is decreasing. And on the contrary, when your appetite for hearing about Krishna is very low, then that's a sign that we're falling deep into Maya. Now, sometimes we say, what's the big deal about hearing about Krishna? But at the same time, if somebody will talk about us and hear about us, we're very happy. Oh, you're talking about me. You're hearing about me. Very good. But to talk and hear about Krishna, you say, well, what's that got to do with me? It takes a bit of convincing to understand that we're actually part of Krishna. Do you ever think how amazing it is how we act even though we don't know what we're a part of? Really amazing. We have no idea of our relationship with the whole. So as parts, we're acting in so many ways. As if we're independent units, independent agents. Just like suppose you went to the health food shop and just acted like there was no owner there. Oh, today I'll just follow my intuition. I'll give away all the spirulina to whoever is walking in the mall. that's my using my intuition. Suppose you do like that. You wouldn't do that because you know. You're a part of a system there. But how about living in this world? We'll do that. Well, it's up to me how I live. It's up to me how I arrange my life. I've got to be me. And no one can live my life for me. It's my truth. You won't do that at work, though. So how is it that we'll accept that there is a system of control at our shop where we work, but the whole cosmic manifestation, there's no system. It's up to us to do what we like. You won't do that where you work. But life in general, you think it's like that. This is the insanity. You know that there's a controller of all the bottles in the health food shop. all the merchandise. You know there's a controller. But this world, oh, it's just up to us to find our own level. You wouldn't say that about work. I don't know if I'm coming in today or not. I've got to find my own level. You wouldn't say that, right? Because your employer would say, well, I'm sorry, but you should find yourself another job. But to live in this world, you think? You've got all the power to define everything for yourself. This is how crazy it is to be in Maya. And we accept it as normal when we associate with people who think that's normal. So we have to watch our association. We should associate as much as possible with persons who are making spiritual advancement. Because we do become like who we associate with. So what is the most difficult thing about Krishna consciousness? What's the most difficult thing? Well, what does that mean to you? But why is that difficult? When you're at the health food shop, do you have difficulty remembering who the owner is? Why? Why? Why not? You're there all the time? But still, why can't you think that it's your shop and you're in control? Why don't you think that way? But we all think this world is ours, right? Right? We think this body belongs to us. The world is our place for acting according to our own understanding. So you say there's a difficulty remembering. Always trying to
remember.
But my point. But if you're doing something for Krishna, it's very easy to remember Krishna. So what is the difficulty? Just like if you have a job, you're doing something for the employer. Therefore, you're always thinking, is the employer pleased? Am I fulfilling expectations of me? So, similarly, you work for Krishna, and you'll always think of Krishna. Am I fulfilling Krishna's expectations? What's the difficulty? Why not? You've never done something for anybody before? It's like you have a job now, so you're thinking, how am I, what's my performance? How is my on the job behavior, how is that being perceived? You're thinking like that, right? So what, that's, you apply that same consciousness to Krishna, that's Krishna consciousness. But you have to be doing something for Krishna. Just like at work, you're doing something for the employer. So if Krishna enjoys the fruits of your labor, it's easy to think of Krishna because you're doing things for Krishna. That's far different from some theoretical understanding. When you're, you see, when you're actually offering something to Krishna, naturally you're going to think of Krishna. And the more that we chant Hare Krishna, the more we'll want to offer things to Krishna. But chanting is very important. It keeps you in the right consciousness of wanting to give to Krishna. So if you want to see Krishna in all that you do, then do everything for Krishna. And the more you chant Hare Krishna, the more you'll be inspired to do things for Krishna. Very simple. You do know how, everyone knows how to do something for someone else. So Krishna is the supreme someone else. We do things for Krishna, it's easy to think about. Very simple. Yes. The mind must abide by superior authority. Otherwise, it will drive you crazy. The mind must accept a superior authority. But it's always going to be going on like that for a while. Arjuna said that, he said that himself in Bhagavad Gita. Chanchalam himana Krishna. Krishna, this mind is more flickering than the wind. Arjuna said the same thing. But what did Krishna reply? It's possible to control the mind through practice. And how do we practice controlling the mind? By doing all our activities for Krishna's pleasure. So we don't want to become depressed because our mind is grinding away like that. We engage in devotional service, and then gradually the mind becomes our friend. And we accept a superior dictation for the mind. But if you make your mind your ultimate authority, big trouble. You noticed that, huh? Our minds, they like to push us around. Hey, I got something to tell you. The more we chant Hare Krishna, the more we start to be attentive to Krishna instead of our own tiny minds. And that's real freedom. It's very oppressive to be servants of the mind. But that same mind, when engaged in devotional service, that same mind becomes our friend. These things are possible. Now, if you're a bit philosophical, a bit intelligent, you can study the Srimad Bhagavatam and find out how the mind victimizes you. And you can start to catch the mind at it. That takes some study, though. Prabhupada's books are full of revelations about how the mind victimizes us. Anything else? So what do people who you talk to, what do they say when they hear you're practicing Krishna consciousness? What do they say? Do they want to come with you? Generally, if anyone is actually open-minded, they'll like your involvement in Krishna consciousness. Ex-boyfriends won't, though. They won't. They don't like to see products taken off the market. They want the shelves full of all the products so they can, you know, pick up when they want and put down when they want. But when you become Krishna conscious, then you're off the market. That's a good thing, yes? To get off the market. Krishna conscious ladies cannot be bought with any amount of gold. But any person these days, male or female, the right amount of money, they'll compromise themselves. Just a question of how much. So by becoming Krishna conscious, you are in a different category of existence altogether. You can't be bought off. Did you ever think about it that way? Everybody in the material world can be bought off. They have a price. Every businessman knows that, right, Shivananda? They've all got their price. But a Krishna conscious person can't be bought off. That's a very rare thing. That is a great gift. To have actual spiritual wealth. So we shouldn't squander that opportunity. And if sometimes things appear difficult, just find some good association. That's what this place is here for. It's not unusual to be bewildered from time to time because Maya has this ferocious throwing potency. Get out! Throw you out! That's not unusual. But together, we can minimize the chances of falling victim to that kind of a thing. And that's a source of great happiness. Alright, so that is real happiness. To be living a saintly life full of Krishna service, that is a source of real happiness. Not to be a slave of your mind and senses. To be able to give other people.